Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Everybody has challenges. Everybody goes through hell. Quit thumbsucking about hell and get up and go somewhere. If you leave home with no vision, you're a thumbsucker about all the bad things that happen to you. And all you want to do is have somebody feel sorry for you, and you're not going anywhere. I said, guys, listen. Now, this is kind of an ugly scripture, but I'll just throw it at you. It's not that late. Matter of fact, let me read. I'm going to read this. This is what I did for my kids years ago. This is old. I said, I'm going to have to teach and train because in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 4, Paul was upset with the Corinthian church. They're griping about everything. They're thumb-sucking. Man, you don't know what we've been through. We've been through all kinds of bad stuff, and we've been through this, and we've been through that. And he said, really? So finally what he does, he writes them a letter back. He said, well, I wasn't going to share, but hey, let me share. And so he begins to write. Well, here's what he said. He said, you think you've been through a hard time? This is New Living Translation. Paul, it's the only time Paul ever griped. This is the only where in the New Testament. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, prayed in tongues more than anybody. He's tired of people thumb-sucking, but it's hard. You know how hard it is? It's hard. We've been on a hard time. It's hard. So Paul writes this back. He says, well, I know I'm going to sound like a madman, but I've been worse than you have. I worked harder than you. I've been in prison more often. I've been whipped times without number. I faced death again and again. 5 different times, the leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times, I was beaten with rods. Once, I was stoned to death. I guess he woke up and walked back in the next day, according to some people. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole day and night at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I faced danger from rivers, danger from robbers. I faced danger from my own people as well as the Jews and from Gentiles. I faced danger in the city, danger in the desert, danger on the sea. I faced danger from men who claimed to be believers but were not. I had worked hard, long, and during many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and often gone without food. Now, we teach our kids, you know how much I have sacrificed for you? Your daddy and I have sacrificed and done so much. You don't appreciate nothing we do. Don't ever tell them that. You sound real stupid when you say it. Don't ever talk to flesh. Just shut your face up and smile. Praise God. I've been hungry and thirsty, gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And besides all this, I have the daily burden of a concern for the churches who said, who is not feeling weakness that I don't feel it? And said, then the king's looking for me to kill me right now. And then he writes that back and says, shut your face up. Now, I'm a parent. Denise had done this much better than me. I was real short-tempered for a long time. God's had to work on me. I'm tired of thumb-sucking. Well, it's not fair. And they got the ball to play more I did, and they got what their hair removing, and they got more ice cream than I did, and their piece of cake is bigger. Shut your face up, or I'm going to take your cake away from you. And all of a sudden, you realize you're trying to make life fair. Well, we got to be fair. I mean, we had birthdays. It got to where I'd have to buy 6 gifts every birthday. Where's my present? It's not your birthday. Well, I wish I had a present. Well, it's not your birthday. So to shut them up, I just start, okay, everybody gets a present. Praise God. It's like Christmas time 6 times a year. Everybody get a gift. Well, you know, you start looking at the budget like, well, this is stupid. Who's parenting who here? So I had to cut that off. And I realized something. The thing of parenting is trying to teach them the word of God. Guys, there's not one scripture in the Bible that said that life's fair. There's no scripture about life being fair. My job's to train you. So I remember I was an old engineer and I had to go back. So I just went back to Genesis and I listed all these out for the kids. So Genesis 18, God picked Abraham for one reason. You know, he's already tried to give his wife away twice. He's lied twice that we know of, maybe more than that. Why are you picking this guy? Well, because I know him. What, did he lie and try to give his wife away? No. I know that he will teach his children and his children's children and all those after him. What I'm about to give him, he won't die with it. He's going to pass it on to the next generation. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9, I command you to teach your children when you wake up, sit down, walk by the way, lay down. I'm going to command you to teach your children 24 hours a day. Psalm 78, I command you to teach your children to the fifth generation. They might have hope in God, might not be as their fathers who forgot about me and my ways and my wonders. And in the day of battle, even though they were armed, they turned back in the day of battle, for they had leanness in their soul. You know, you start going through Psalms 112, if you fear me, your seed will be mighty upon this planet. Wealth and riches will be in their house. Psalms 127, your children will be like arrows in the hands of a mighty man. They are a reward from God. Children are a reward from God. Now, the first time I read that, I thought, well, that's a lie. Some monk wrote that, and he didn't have any kids. That's just stupid. Because I got them, there's not a rewarding thing about them. They're costing me more money than I can count. Tearing stuff up, chewing the corners off the end table, flushing stuff they shouldn't, and not flushing stuff they should. If that's a reward, go bless my neighbor. Wow, God, you blessed me enough. I don't need any more reward. Isaiah 28, 9 and 10 says, all of our children shall be taught of the Lord. Or Isaiah 54, 13, all of our children shall be taught of the Lord, and great will be their peace and undisturbed composure. Proverbs 22, 6, train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old and won't depart from it. The Bible is packed. I am commanded, teach, train, teach. Why? They're born empty-headed. And if I don't start putting the right thoughts in, they'll be what I've trained them to be. Selfish, thumb-sucking, arrogant, ignorant, thinking only about me, and I all their life. And I said, people don't like people like you. People like servant people. I need to train you when you leave home. Go be a blessing to somebody. Go leave a place better than you find it. Leave a room better than you find it. Go be a blessing somewhere. But to do that, I got to see that you leave home with a vision. You're not like your sisters. You don't have the same talent, the same gift, but you've got one. We just got to find out what it is. God gifted all of you. Psalm 139, verse 15 and 16. All the days of your life were written in the book in heaven before your mother ever met your father. You're gifted. You just got to find out what it is. I'm not good at nothing. No, you're good at something, or God lied. You're good at something. That gift will make you wealthy and make you famous. We need to find out what it is. It's not your sister's gift or your brother's gift. The Bible says, do not compare yourselves among yourselves. Don't ever ask your kid why they're not like their sister or brother, because they're not. They came out different. You're different. Let's find out what you're called and gifted to do. So grow in wisdom. My job's to constantly, you see how old my kids are older. I still plant vision. Where are you going? What are you going to do? How do you plan to get there? I need to put that in you early so you leave home wanting to go do something to be something. The last two are this. Jesus grew in favor with God. That means you have a gift. And that's what I love with my kids. Every kid's gifted. You have a gift. What is your gift? I said, you don't have your daddy's gift, your mama's gift. Gifts do not come down family line. They're by divine appointment. And so Sarah was always good with words. She loved to read early, so that's why she's a professor of curriculum development. It stayed with her whole life. She's a curriculum development professor. It's good. Jessica, she's so funny. Just everything's funny to Jessica. It was just funny. Great athlete, all-state basketball champion. She went to college on a basketball scholarship. Her gift made room for her. She would cry. You go into her bedroom at night, and Jessica had tears coming down her face. Her older sister's asleep. Same school, same class, same teacher, same subject, algebra. Sarah had pretty much a photographic memory. She could read something, and she had it. Jess would have to study 2 and 3 hours a night to get that same deal. And she said, it's not fair. She'd be crying. Sarah's getting her beauty sleep. Jessica's cramming at midnight. It's not fair. I said, I know it's not. There's not one scripture about life being fair. She has a gift. You don't have it. I don't know where she got it, but I know you don't have it. You're going to have to study. And you got to help your kids realize that, no, what are you supposed to do? Quit pointing at somebody else. And so they were all gifted different. And so our job is to help them find out your gift. All of our kids went to college on scholarship based on their gift, not they got lucky or something happened. Then the last is Jesus grew in favor with man. Now here's where the devil will try to take your kids out. There are more scriptures in the Bible on friends and friendship than there are on the subject of hell. God said more about friends than he did about hell. Why? Friends will take you to hell. And what does that mean? The devil doesn't show up with horns and a pitchfork, puking green stuff and eyeball hanging out. He can only show up looking good and talking good. Ezekiel 28, man, he's got four great gifts, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, charge of wealth, charge of music. He understands them. Those were his gifts in heaven. When he got fired from his job, he kept his gifts. He didn't lose them. Looks are a big thing. America's consumed with their looks. Man, we're consumed. You don't like your flesh, we'll nuke it. We can fry it. We can suck some out, shove some in. We can change that flesh. You're going back to dust anyhow, but we can mess with your flesh. Everybody's a smart aleck, because if you know you're not smarter than the guy you're talking to, you'll make fun of them. So all of our humor is cutting humor. Why? We know we're dumb, so how we get smarter? Make them look dumber. We'll make fun of everybody. Music. Man, everything's driven by music. There's music playing everywhere, every kind of music you can imagine. Why? Because you remember what you sing. That's why if you sing, take this job and shove it, I ain't working it no more, it's not going to go good. They shut our plant down. We sung that for 3 months. Every time we come, hey, it's on, turn the station. And 300, take his job, we're working. And they shut our plant down. And we sung her right into oblivion. Sing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Don't let your kids sing in stupid stuff because you're going to remember what you sing. So all of a sudden this friendship thing was, as iron strikes iron, so the countenance of a friend. If you have a friend, they're going to tell you the truth. I want you to love me enough to tell me the truth. I don't need you to flatter me. Mark those given to flattery. To the degree of personal flattery to your face is to the depth they'll put a knife in your back. So I've told my kids, when you leave home, you need to know who you are and where you're going, what you're doing here. Because really it doesn't matter, because there's going to be opposition. But if you don't have a vision, all you're going to do is thumbsuck about the opposition. Number two, you better get some self-discipline. Romans 13, God said, I set up authority. Why? You challenge authority, you're challenging me. That's why people buy radar detectors. And I make fun of it all the time. I don't mean to, but the flesh is saying, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I do what I want to do when I want to. No, you're not. Look at their people. They're going to make you do right. That's why prisons are full. Jails are full. Why? Somebody's going to make you do what's right. Now, if you'll do what's right, you'll have praise of those authorities. So just do what's right because it's right to do what's right. Oh, that is so simple. Third is this. You've got a gift. Quit getting mad at other people that got lucky. They didn't get lucky. There's no such thing as luck. What is your gift? And to use all those first three, your vision, your self-discipline, your gift, you're going to have to know how to get along with people, both your friends and your enemies. There's many scriptures on how to deal with your enemies and how to deal with your friends. You know, you can go through the whole Bible. For example, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, heady, high-minded, truce breakers, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, disobedient to parents. From such people, stay away. If they're thirsty, give them water. If they're hungry, feed them. If they're in prison, visit them. But don't spend spare time and eat lunch with them, or you'll become like who you hang around. So the fourth thing I realized, I told my kids, you better learn to run with people running faster than you. You don't want to hang around people like you. If you're going to grow, chase people running faster than you, which means you're going to have to humble yourself, not show up and show off and be arrogant. You'll never grow. If you're the biggest dog in the barn, you're never going to grow. You got to make yourself chase people running faster. Now, I'm telling you something. As a parent, it's been four of the greatest things we've ever learned. Now, I'll leave you with this thought. I had some high school students years ago, and I got this thing out of an old book. Gave them all a dollar bill. They're all seniors. Gave them a week. Brought them into class. Okay, we're going to do something different today. We've been talking on biblical worldview and having a vision for your life. And I want to show that everybody thinks different. Everybody has the same opportunity, but not everybody will take the opportunity. Everybody's salvation has been paid for, but not everybody's going to receive that salvation. So I'm going to give everybody a dollar date. It was on a Monday. You've got till Friday to do something with this dollar. We've been talking about biblical finance and how money works, how people make money. Give all of you a dollar. Now, I don't care what you do with it. I'm going to give you an A on Friday. I don't care what you do with this, but we will record it. It'll go into a book. I don't care if you go over here and buy Dr. Pepper and a moon pie. I really don't care. But we're going to see what you can do with a dollar in 5 days. And so some people giggle and say, well, they're all seniors. You know, they're all Christians. They should know better. Friday to come back, and you got to come up in front of the class. What'd you do? Give me the receipts. What'd you do with your dollar? Sure enough, some did. Bought a moon pound of Dr. Pepper to school lunch. That's what they did. Some bought a Big Mac. Some tried to do something. I remember this one kid walked up, and he had a wad of $1 bills. Real thick glasses. Bought him a $1. Came his turn. Okay, what'd you do with yours? And he started counting them out. Boom, 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 boom. Of course, everybody got quiet. He counted out 117 $1 bills. And it's like, okay, everybody's looking. Of course, the people, well, he's lying. What'd you do? Well, tell everybody how you got the $117. He said, well, I took that dollar on Monday and I went and bought some nickel candy and I sold it Tuesday for a quarter. Went and bought some quarter candy, sold it on Wednesday for a dollar. Went and bought a really nice football, sold it on Thursday, got me a five-speed and used five-speed bicycle and said I just sold it this morning for $117. Now, you know what everybody said? He's lucky. No, he's not. Some kids got trained, and some thumb suck. They never had a break. They never going to get a break. We never had a break. And they're never going to get a break. So go ahead. Stick her in there deep. Suck the nail right off of it. Because while you're thumb sucking, somebody's blowing by you down the interstate. I don't care if your children are 5 or 55. We'll go into the really parenting stuff in the morning in a lot more detail. Our job's to launch them, not make them mind. We've stopped short. Well, you better mind your parents. You better make good grades. You better clean your bed and change your underwear. Well, sure, but that won't take anywhere. vision's going to take you somewhere. My job as a parent is to make sure you leave home knowing who you are in Christ and what you are placed here to do.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, JoeMcGeeMinistries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.